Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Kegels Crossing.
It would be a little weird. I know some Kegels. I know some Kegels.
Well,
I would say Kegels Crossing was actually in Choctaw County, but
let me see if you're right.
I doubt it. Cahoma County.
Cahoma County.
Yep. It should be in Choctaw County.
Between Rome and Dublin. So, you know.
There you go. The more you know.
We are given a graduate level course on Mississippi geography here on this class, on this podcast. Like, we are teaching the masses.
It's a geography class, history class, science class.
There's science, yeah. Sports, obviously.
Sports. We have PE.
Yeah, we have some wine.
I made you show that you can get off of your knees in a reasonable amount of time. So that's PE.
So you agree that was a reasonable amount of time? I did not look like an idiot.
It was reasonable. I was a little surprised, which I'm very proud of you. You're coming up on the century mark.
I am.
In weight loss, which is an incredible feat.
We're almost there. I feel good.
You talked about, like, it's a lot easier to climb up the stairs now. You're actually running some. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's very inspiring.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, the stairs. So for those, you know what? Let's save it for after the rates. I will tell the story of the stairs, though. But anyway, wherever you are in our great state, if you want Strange Brew Coffee, it's a click away, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council. The Mississippi Beef Council was Brian Haydad's house on Mother's Day. Cooked three fillets for the wife and kids, and a big old ribeye for me. And this was beef on beef, because when I cook, you know, I'm a reverse sear guy. That's how I like to cook. Cook it in the oven, get it up to temp, and then blast it in the hot pan, right? And that's how you get the crust. That's how I cook steaks. And the problem is olive oil is a bad oil to cook steaks in a cast iron pan with. It burns really easily, right? So I was like, what has a high smoke point? What can I use? And I had some of this. And I was like, let me look. And I looked it up, and it did. Wagyu beef tallow, high smoke point. So what did I cook the steaks in? Beef fat.
Yes.
Beef on beef. And they were delicious. And I'm just telling you, if you want to enjoy a great meal, a steak is the way to go. I was happy. The wife was happy. Everybody was happy at Brian Haydad's house last night. And they'll be happy at your house if you tell them we're having steak tonight. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. We are on Father's Day alert here on Thunder and Lightning. Two fathers here on this show. We want to make sure that fathers get what they want, and they can get it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Guys, don't leave Dad hanging this Father's Day. Get him something great from College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. If you're having a special occasion, a meal at Restaurant Tyler is a great way to celebrate it, but you don't need a special occasion to go to Restaurant Tyler. Going to Restaurant Tyler is a special occasion for dinner. Steaks, pasta, chicken, vegetarian options, and of course, the best dessert in town, the stuffed pancake. We had somebody tweet at us just last week, said, hey, I'm now a believer. I didn't know about this stuffed pancake, but man, it is good. It is good. It is good. If I'm having a cheat day, a stuffed pancake is tough to turn down. I love a trip to Restaurant Tyler. You will too. Check it out next time you're here in Starkville. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers on your schedule. You need a bank that's going to provide a level of service that you're only going to get with our friends at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. So, at Duty Noble, the media entrance is on the third base side, and you got to go up about like what, 5 flights of stairs to get to the press box.
No elevator on that side.
There's no elevator on that side. So for years, I have either walked up to the center field, the home plate entrance, and used the elevator, or if I went up the stairs, I mean, I would have to stop basically every flight. I would go up a flight, take a breath. I mean, it was embarrassing. I won't lie to you. And now I can go up those stairs, no problem. You know, I might still at the very top, I might be like, whew. But that's 5 flights of stairs. I think just about anybody going up 5 flights of stairs is going to take a breath when they get to the very top.
It is very taxing.
So, yes, that is something I have monitored my progress with, is my ability to just go up those stairs without complaint. Because, I mean, 2023 season, I couldn't do it. I would use the elevator, or I would just suffer on the way up. I had to hold onto the rail, and it was embarrassing. So, not like that anymore. That's good stuff. Mississippi State baseball is not like that anymore either. They're playing good baseball right this second. But, of course, even with the potential postseason play coming, and you know, it really does feel like Mississippi State, a 3-1 week will get them into the postseason, no questions asked. Their RPI is going to take a little bit of a hit this week just because they're playing North Alabama, not a good team at all, and then Missouri. Yes, them sweeping Texas A&M is a fun story, but they're still a low RPI team. As big a story as that is, though, Robbie, the biggest story continues to be as the world turns here for Mississippi State and the coaching search. We talked a little bit yesterday about the Texas A&M job possibly opening up. That will in some way affect Mississippi State. But there was a good point made by somebody on your message board that State's is going to have basic, because A&M's not going to make a change until they get done, right? So at worst, it'll be next week when they get eliminated from the SEC tournament. But if they have a crazy week this week and sweep Georgia, they could find themselves into the postseason. State's going to have basically a month and a half head start on Texas A&M. And that being the case, I think they give State a huge advantage. I think A&M also, this feels like the time for them to go get Dan Heifner from Dallas Baptist. And I think that's always been the rumor mill that, you know, he would go to Texas or Texas A&M, but he doesn't want to leave Texas. That it just makes too much sense for them to go grab him. And that's a guy Mississippi State really doesn't have much interest in, and there don't think there's much mutual interest there either.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Dan Heifner is he willing to leave? Because a lot of people that know him and have followed his career, they think he's perfectly content there. You know, one of the things that people keep bringing up is his religious beliefs and how he uses that within his program and whether or not universities would be okay with that. And I don't know. I tend to believe Mississippi State would be good with it, but I don't really know the extent of what he's doing. Is it just, you know, leading Bible study and things like that? I don't think that's a big deal. I mean, some people say that it goes much deeper than that, and he would be upset with Mississippi State even serving alcohol at the games. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That would probably be a little bit of a problem for him. And if Texas A&M's doing that, I mean, I imagine that'd be a problem for him there as well. So I don't know. I don't know Dan Heifner personally. Mm-hmm. I do know that from people that are friends with him in this business and that have spent a lot of time around him, he's very, very like his morals are a big part of who he is as a coach, and he's kind of content with where he is because Dallas Baptist allows him that kind of freedom. So I'm very interested to see if he would make that kind of jump. I mean, you might make it with Texas A&M, you might make it a point to where he cannot turn it down from a financial standpoint. I mean, there's a number I feel like there's a number for just about everybody. We're all human beings. We all want to, we all want to keep our family in a good spot financially, things like that. I mean, there might be a number where he just says, I can't turn that down. So I don't know. But that, to me, that makes the most sense. When you're talking about a guy that's from that area, that he's coaching in around that area, he's not that far away from Texas A&M. He knows that place pretty well. I think that would be a seamless transition for them, and he would give them a very, very fundamentally sound head coach that I would be interested to see what he would do with those kind of resources. I think it would be very similar from a production standpoint of what Jim Schlossnagel was doing there. I think he would be competing for national championships. That's mm-hmm. how good a coach I think that he is.
Great.
And with those resources, I think he would be a dynamite hire. I just don't know if he would be willing to make that move.
Right.
Because, like I said, he's a guy that appears to be perfectly happy where he is. He's turned down great jobs before.
Yes.
We'll see if he would do it there as well. If I'm A&M, I got to pull the trigger here on this coach. I mean,
you can't go on like this. You can't be preseason number one and then not make the postseason and keep your job. You just can't. I don't care who.
I mean, because here's the thing: like, you're not going to have a more talented roster next year than what you have this year.
Right. It's sort of like the fact that if this was a normal situation, you know, let's take Mississippi State for example. Right, won the national title. The next year they were awful, absolutely awful. But Lamona's had enough credit in the bank that he's able to withstand that and get a few more years. This guy has nothing. He took over this program that was poised to win its first national title. They were a win away from it last year, and he's completely squandered it.
Well, the only thing that he has to credit is he's been given credit for building this roster. And fair enough. He's the recruiting coordinator. He was, I think, the hitting coach. So, you could essentially look at him like we kind of do Will Coggin, although he's not at Mississippi State. We're mm-hmm. giving him a lot of credit for what he's done. But this guy was given way too much credit.
Yeah.
He was given enough credit that people thought that he was going to come in and take what Jim Schlossnagel, who is arguably top three head coach in college baseball right now. Jim Schlossnagel led that team the national championship game or series. People were expecting him to just pick up where Jim Schlossnagel, a top three head coach, was and produce the same results. And that was just idiotic, in my opinion. I never bought that. I gave him maybe a little more credit than he even deserved by thinking that he would still be decent. They would still be pretty good, but I just didn't think they were number one team in the country. They just got swept by Missouri. By the way, they dropped 24 points in RPI. They're at
59.
Unless
they sweep Georgia, they're not going to get in.
If they don't sweep, they're not getting in. That's just point blank. But this guy is proven now. Like, you can't give him another shot.
Right. Agreed.
I don't see this just be like, well, you know, first year, got to get the jitters out. No, he was delivered the best roster, I think, in college baseball, and he's going to probably go 11-19 in conference play. That's incredibly bad.
You know what's funny about him, though, or just a thought? The guy had a great reputation as a hitting coach and a recruiter, right? You hire mm-hmm. somebody like Brian O'Connor or Wes Johnson, and that guy's on the market.
Which
him to Starkville, I mean,
and that kind of makes me wonder. You know, we've been told that Brian O'Connor that he was up for that job, or he mm-hmm. would have taken the job, or whatever. I just can't, and maybe I'm just naive on this, but I can't imagine an AD turning down the possibility to go get a guy like Brian O'Connor just to promote from within. Something tells me, I don't know, that wasn't true. That Brian O'Connor didn't have the opportunity to take that job. Maybe he just turned it – or maybe he turned it down. Because I just can't imagine someone making a decision to promote an unproven assistant coach.
Yeah.
For – whenever you have the opportunity to get Brian O'Connor or somebody like that, I I don't know. Maybe I'm naive on that, but I can't imagine that decision was made. If it was, then you have incompetent leadership.
Well,
And you got caught up in the whole, well, if you don't hire him, the whole team's gonna leave. So I don't know. It was if that was the decision they made that decision solely to keep that roster together,
you see what
then they
happened.
don't have any long-term vision.
And you say I'm incompetent leadership. I've never thought Trev Alberts was a good athletic director. So that's
No,
not.
that was a bad hire.
Yeah, you're not stretching my brain to say that he did a bad job. So let's turn it over to Mississippi State. A name that was brought up on your board today that was on some original hot boards, but we haven't heard much of him is Mark Wazowski. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Mike Wazowski. Oregon's head coach. That program is doing really well. Definitely a guy who you feel does more with less. So you'd love to see him in a high resource situation. But as you mentioned on the board, not a guy we've heard a lot of information about and a lot of buzz about since then. I feel like when the news started coming out from you and from guys like Kendall Rogers that Brian O'Connor and Wes Johnson were going to be legitimate candidates for this job, that is what sort of pushed guys like maybe him. I'm trying to think of some of the other
Chris
names.
Pollard.
Chris Pollard sort of pushed them down a little bit. Pollard had a great weekend as well this past weekend. Where does State stand? Are those the kind of the next tier guys? If State were to miss on O'Connor and Wes Johnson, do Pollard and Wazowski become bigger candidates?
They should. I mean,
Yeah.
I put both of those guys on my list without any kind of intel behind the scenes that Mississippi State was targeting them. Those are just guys that I thought made
Made
perfect
sense.
sense.
Yeah.
And as far as I understand it, both are heavily interested in this Mississippi State job. And I don't know what Mississippi State's interest level is right now in them, but I imagine the names coming out, Brian O'Connor, Wes Johnson, guys like that probably did push them down the list a little bit. But if these guys are kind of like at the bottom of your initial list, that's a pretty darn good group to pull from. If you got Brian O'Connor, Wes Johnson, you even move into the Tom Walters and the Butch Thompsons and Nick Mangione or whatever. If that's your grouping kind of in the next tier, that's a really good group to pull from. If that's what Zach Selman has, I don't know, but it's a really good coach that took over a program that had success, but I think he's kind of elevated them a little bit. And let's talk about Wise. He went to Purdue, and if you remember in 2018, I think that was year two for him at Purdue. And in 2018, when State was searching for a coach, he was a name that John Cohen was targeting and
Yes.
was not a popular, when that came up, it was not a popular thought with this fan base. They did not like that because he had not really done anything at that point. He had coached under Annie Lopez and had done some good things at Arizona and Florida, but he had not really done anything as a head coach. Well, the year after that, he had a really good season for Purdue, which is not a traditionally rich
Right.
program. And he ends up going to Oregon. And since he's been at Oregon, all he's doing is winning, and he's winning big. And it started in the Pac-12, and now he's moved over to the Big Ten and doing big things. He would be an outstanding hire. And I do think that there's been some feelers out there with him in Mississippi State. I believe that he is a really good candidate for the Bulldogs if they choose to go that direction. And hasn't been it's not a guy that's just been stuck to the West Coast, obviously having coached at Florida for a period and then was head coach at Purdue. So he's not one of those West Coast guys that are just enamored with that area. I think that he would be willing to make that move, and he likes the prospects of playing at a place like Mississippi State where the expectations are really high. He's a great coach. He really is one of those that I think embraces expectations, so he fits that box that you want to check. I think he would be awesome. I think Chris Pollard would be awesome. And those are two guys we're not talking about much, but I think both of them would be quality head coaches from Mississippi State.
Yeah, Oregon's number 5 in the nation currently, right this second.
Yeah.
Duke is in the top 20 as well, and these are
And
programs.
again, they had done good things. We saw them a few years ago. State played them in a series, a couple of series, and they were really good back then. But I just
Off
feel
a
like
little
he's
bit
kind
there.
of elevated them and made them a more
Yes.
complete team.
Yes, I agree with that. And then, Duke was nothing, literally nothing before Chris Pollard arrived. And so, yeah, these the, it, it's it, that that to me is the best sign for Mississippi State throughout this search. When you're talking about guys like, they're a little down the list. The coach of the number 5 team in the nation is a little bit down the list for you. The coach of the number 20 team in the nation is a little down the list for you. That's a great sign for Mississippi State. Do we have
Well,
any?
another one, like I
Go
think
ahead.
people are just immediately crapping on Butch Thompson as a
That's
possibility.
another good example. Yeah.
I totally get it. I totally get it. It would not be an exciting hire for a lot of this fan base. I understand that, especially when you put him in the same realm as Brian O'Connor. But just for when you're looking at Butch Thompson, and for argument's sake, and I'm not advocating for him, I'm not pushing his name out there. Nobody's told me to do that. I'm just simply having a conversation about
Has
this.
somebody accused you of putting Butch Thompson's name out?
No, I'm just saying that before anybody thinks that.
Okay.
But when you look at Butch Thompson, they're number two in the country right now. And I saw somebody say, his resume is worse than Chris Lemonis's. Chris Lemonis, what he inherited at Mississippi State and what Butch Thompson inherited at Auburn are light years apart. Auburn had been at the very bottom of the SEC for several years. I don't think, I'll have to go look, I don't think they had really done much of anything for a couple of, maybe a decade or so. And I mean, like, they haven't been really going to the tournament.
Yeah,
And Butch
you're right.
Thompson,
You're
let's see,
correct.
their last tournament appearance before Butch got there, well, I guess they went in 2015, but they only had two tournament appearances in 10 years. And Butch Thompson now, since he's been there, has been there 5 times during his career.
About to make
And
a
he's been
six.
to College World Series twice, which is something that they just did not do. They had not done it since the
And
1990s.
another super regional in there as well.
And another super regional. And now they're number two in the country. And I totally get the whole up and down thing. And last year they were really bad. But I think that Butch embraces the portal. I'm as big a fan of him as anybody in the country and what he does from a pitcher's development standpoint. And I think you all also have to eliminate your thought process on what Butch Thompson's done and the consistency of it when you replace that with the resources that Mississippi State has. That's the thing about college athletics and even in college baseball, I think in particular, when you replace the resources there, I don't know if we see the 25 win season or whatever it was last year. I don't know if that comes as often. If he's able to have the resources in place to go out there and get good talent. This offseason, Auburn, surprise, surprise, John Cohen shows up and they produce more resources for Butch Thompson. He goes out and gets some players that I think have really kind of changed things for him, both in the freshman class, and his freshman class is really good, and the transfer portal class. So I just don't think that you can just diminish the work that Butch Thompson's done at Auburn when you put into your mind that they just were not very good when he arrived. And now he's won three regionals since he's been there. They had won four all time before that.
I am 100% on board. If Butch Thompson is the hire, that is a great hire for Mississippi State. Again,
And you can call it a lazy hire, and you can call it,
but it's
I don't think it's
not
a lazy
lazy.
hire.
It's
I think the
Selman doesn't have any connections to
doesn't have
Butch.
connections with him.
He,
And
that.
he and his connection to Mississippi State is his boss.
Yeah.
So if Mississippi State went and pulled him from his boss and his friend
Yeah.
from Auburn, a place where they've elevated their facilities, they've elevated their NIL. I think that's a good hire. I don't know. I think Butch is interested in this job. I don't know if he would take it, but if that is the guy you hire, and assuming they've missed at this point on Brian O'Connor and Wes Johnson, some of those guys, I just don't think that you can crap on that. Like I said, I don't think it's a lazy hire. I think it's what I would say it is a safe hire, because I think Butch Thompson would win here. We know he could get Mississippi State to a College World Series, because just about every coach that's coached here since the 1970s has gotten Mississippi State to College World Series. So that's almost been a given for a coach that's been here for 4 or 5 plus years, and even, you know, an interim coach got him there. That's almost a given for Mississippi State coaches. So we know he could get them there, and I believe with the resources that they have, they can have better players than they have at Auburn. So I just can't really dismiss a Butch Thompson hire if that's the guy you get.
Look at it like this, Robbie, and this is how I would encourage people to look at it. Just take the names off of everything and just say, your program is going to hire the coach of the number two team in the nation.
Yes.
How can you not be excited about that? That guy has – he's the number two team in the nation, and we're going to get him here? That's also a statement about Mississippi State baseball, that he's one that's like, well, I'm winning big at Auburn right now, but I can't turn pass this up if he were to take it. So, yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you. I would be all on board with Butch Thompson being the head coach of Mississippi State.
Listen to the people that we've brought up over the last few weeks, and they might not hire any of these people, but we've brought up as possibilities for this job the coach for the number five team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
This is through D1 baseball. The coach for the number six team in the country, which is Auburn on D1 baseball. The top assistant for the number 10 team in the country. The coach for the number 20 team in the country as well. And then you talk about some of the other guys. Brian O'Connor, who's not ranked, just went to back-to-back
national championship winning
as a national championship.
Yeah.
It's just if any of these coaches are your coach next year, and I'm including Will Coggin in that. I've probably been more vocal on him than anybody else has, just because
Obviously, you've been told to talk about him.
Yeah, well, yeah, I still think that he's a guy that could back his way into this if things fall apart. If he has a great interview, but I think right now with every name that we've mentioned, and that includes, you know, Tom Walter, Wake Forest, whoever they hire out of that group makes perfect sense for Mississippi State and would be on paper a very good coach.
Agreed.
And would be on paper, I think, a coach that is better than the one that you hired in 2018 from a resume standpoint.
There hasn't been a single name that's made me go,
that would be bad. Yeah.
Or at least not from reputable sources. There have been some names people throw out, like, I mean, I'll be completely honest with you. Like, even the thought of making Justin Parker the head coach doesn't completely turn my stomach.
So, yeah.
I mean, the absolute bottom floor is Justin Parker. Okay. I can live with all of those decisions. So
who has impressed us?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not ready to start advocating for him just yet.
Right. No,
but
not at all. No.
He's shown to be competent. And we've seen him develop pitchers. We've seen him recruit. And some people will say that his recruiting hasn't been any good, but I just think that they made a bad decision in the offseason thinking
they
had enough guys in place. But maybe they learned from that. I don't know. But
we'll see.
I don't think Justin Parker.
It doesn't matter. It's not going to come to that.
I don't think so either. But I'm just saying. I agree with you. I don't think Justin Parker is a disaster or anything like that. I just you need to go through several guys before you get to that.
All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. I wish they were open on a Monday. I'd go over there and grab some lunch today. But
the last two times we've been, I've gotten the wings. And I got 12 wings and some pork rinds,
mm-hmm.
and I forced myself to stop eating the wings when I did, because I wanted to save them for the next day.
Well, snack, yeah.
So I ate six of them with the pork rinds, filled me up pretty good.
Yeah.
Those wings on Saturday that I had before coming to the game.
Yeah.
They hit the spot.
Hit the spot.
They're exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
I got the buffalo wings. You get the buffalo sauce. You like the lemon pepper garlic.
I do like those lemon pepper wings. They are good.
They also have buffalo garlic.
Yeah. They have teriyaki.
I haven't tried
They
that
got
yet.
Barbecue. They got it all.
Man. And then you can't go wrong with the traditional smoked wings. But I get six traditional. I get six buffalo.
We need to have a wing-eating competition of two brothers.
Oh, that would be a
I'll
massacre.
Take on all comers.
That would be a massacre.
Yeah, it would. I want to do that. All right. Two Brothers Smoke Meats, the older brother right there in the Cotton District. You know Robbie and I, we love to eat there. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
That's it, brother.
When you need technology for your business, you need a new copier, a new printer, you need to call Advantage Business Systems, and they will get you taken care of. And most importantly, they're going to continue to take care of you long after the sale is made. You don't have to call a 1-800 number. You don't have to be on hold for 45 minutes. You don't have to wait a week to 10 days for somebody to get to you. It's the same people who made you the sale. And a lot of times, because you're in Mississippi and they're in Mississippi, they can take care of you the same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Next time you're here in Starkville, make sure you're headed to Marunico. Nobody comes to Starkville and doesn't buy at least one piece of Mississippi State gear. Make sure you're buying it at Marunico because they have the biggest and best selection. And most importantly, they're a locally owned business. And even more importantly than that, you can save some money when you go there because it is a 15% off promo code THUNDER15, 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. I still have not found those exclusions. No one has ever been like, hey, I tried to use the promo code and it wouldn't take that. I've never had that happen. So try it out, maroonandco.com, or if you're going to be here in Starkville, head over to Maroon & Co.
One thing I want to say about Maroon & Co.
Yeah.
I could have guessed it before I asked this question, but I just wanted to hear it. I walked into post game the other night and the videographer for state baseball is doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
He was wearing a gray M over S rope hat. And I was like, man, that hat is sick. Where did you get that? And without hesitation, Maroon & Co. And I was like, I knew it. I told him, I was like, they have the best hats, man. Like, they literally have the best
hats. I hope he used our promo code and saved himself some money.
I should have told him about it, but yeah. I was so enamored with that hat at the time. It's all I could think about.
Yeah.
But the hats there at Maroon & Co. are phenomenal. If you're a hunter, they've really gotten into the camo game.
Yeah,
you can get Mississippi State bottomland shirts with the mossy oak pattern. That's just gorgeous. And it comes to different. You know, they have the hoodies, they have the t-shirts, yeah. They have the long sleeve. Go check it out. And we've seen the Dogs Win Again shirts, obviously, out there. But they have the state script and the interlocking, our favorite two logos. So go check it out today.
There you go. All right, guys, we've been talking about it. It's summertime. That is when it's time for your lawn to shine. To do that, you got to have the best stuff. To get the best stuff, you need to go see our friends over at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. I would take part in this spring sales event from John Deere. 0% financing for 48 months on powerful John Deere Gators and commercial mowers, or 0% financing up to 72 months on all John Deere compact tractors. Nothing runs like a deer. If you want your lawn to look its best, John Deere is the way to go. Do not miss out on this offer. It's valid through June 2nd. Visit Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden at 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo, or you can shop online, scruggsfarm.com. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, they have what you need for less. All right, Falk, we are 16 weeks from the start of the college football season. There are 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference. It is time for our first SEC picks preview. I will allow you know Mississippi State and Ole Miss. We do State last week. We do Ole Miss the second to last week. You got 14 options, Robbie. Who are we going to talk about today?
Let's go with Texas A&M.
The Aggies.
Because we forgot about them.
You know what?
First time around.
That's fair.
I want to go ahead and get them. Make sure we take care of them now.
That's fair. All right, let's do it then. Texas A&M, 8-5 last season. Bad bowl game loss to a not a good Southern Cal team at all. Big expectations for Mike Elko in year two. So let's just jump right in. First two games of the year for the Aggies are should be wins. Texas San Antonio and Utah State. It is week three where we will find out what this Texas A&M team really is. They travel to Notre Dame. That was announced today as a 7:30 p.m. kickoff. So night under the lights in South Bend as the Aggies and the Fighting Irish. Last year, Fighting Irish came down to College Station, got the win. That was kind of the spark, the put that started their campaign all the way to the national championship game. Could Texas A&M repay the favor, Robbie, and head up in College Station and get the win?
Yeah, the intriguing thing about it is where it's played, obviously, but I don't know, man. I mean, they're such a weird program. I'm going to go with Notre Dame just because of the fact it's on the road, and I just don't trust A&M.
I tend to agree.
But like last year, I really felt like you know me. I've been a big fan of Mike Elko. I feel like he could get a little more out of them than what we saw with kind of the crazy stuff that we saw with Jimbo Fisher. But I'm not buying it right now.
I tend to agree with you. I tend to agree with you. On the road, Notre Dame, talented. I think Freeman's a better coach than Elko. I'll go with the Irish as well. So we'll both have the Aggies 2-1. Get the bye week. You know, this is another two bye week year. And then they host Auburn. That's a game that, you know, coming off of a loss, they got to have that game. I think Auburn may have a loss at this point too. I think Auburn may lose that week one game to Baylor, which means Hugh Freeze, that'll be a hot seat game. For Hugh Freeze, if he loses this one, he's got two losses in September. They're in huge trouble. I like the Aggies here at home.
Yeah, I do too. They play better at home, which is kind of turning away from where they were a couple years ago when they were losing a lot of their games in SEC play at home. I can't buy Auburn until I actually see it. I actually have more trust in A&M at this point, so I'm going to go with A&M.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Week five, they host the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Three straight home games.
Yeah. I think I'm going to take the Aggies to win that as we sit here today.
Yep, I think I will go with that as well.
And then here's the third straight home game. And this is kind of where their season, I think, either pushes towards a college football playoff bid or you're looking at Texas 8-4 again. They host the Florida Gators. Last year, that was kind of the early season game for A&M where you were like, ooh, that was the game where Marcel Reed made his debut and really looked sharp, and you thought, okay, they've got something here. This is a better Florida, at least it should be a better Florida team than they were at the beginning of the season last year with Lagway coming back. Monster game. I'm leaning Aggies as we sit here right this second.
It should be a better team, but will it be is the question. Mm-hmm. Was that fool's gold late in the season from DJ Lagway? I think he has a chance to be a special player. I was really impressed with how he carried that team late in the year.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Florida has been a team that the last couple of years we've talked about they might be making a coaching change in the middle of the season. And, you know, Billy Napier,
well, he's still on the hot
confidence
seat.
In him. Yeah. Late in the year, and they let him finish it out, and he finished pretty strong.
They got to win games though this year.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Florida here, and ooh. I'm going to give them the edge because of DJ Lagway.
Okay,
I think they're going to have the edge in the quarterback room, and that makes a difference.
All right, so I've got the Aggies at 5-1. You've got them at 4-2 as they travel to Arkansas. I think we would both give them the win there, the edge there. I think that's actually at Arkansas too. I think they're no longer playing that game,
yeah. Which is the right move. They should that should be home and home.
Then they're at LSU. LSU is a really interesting team. That nobody they had the best portal class this year. They really went out and got guys in the portal. They bring back Nussmeier, who, if you're being honest with yourself, should probably be your first team all-SEC quarterback preseason, just based on, you know, returning guys and what numbers they've put up. And it's in at LSU. I think the Tigers get the Aggies in this one.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen as well.
All right.
I'm not ready to call LSU national champs or anything, but I do think they're going to be more talented.
All right.
And Nussmeier, this is year two. I mean, this is the year everybody's made that jump that's taken over at quarterback there.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow in year two, Jaden Daniels in year two.
That's a good point.
Nussmeier has the talent. I think he's going to have a good year.
Yeah. Off week, then at Missouri. This was an interesting game a season ago. You know, Missouri came in undefeated, was very much in the playoff discussion, and A&M just humbled them, blew them out in College Station. So the Tigers will be looking for some revenge in this one. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I'm off the bandwagon on Missouri. I was climbing on it midseason last year. Not anymore. I think quarterback change there, and they're going to have some new pieces, and they lost Luther Burden. I'm going to go with the Aggies. I think they win this game.
Agreed. So 7-2 over here and 6-3 over there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the other side of that coin for A&M. Last year, they were the hot team. Everybody was like, hey, this team could play in the playoff. And they went to South Carolina, and Willie B at night got them, and they got humiliated by the Gamecocks. I think this is a bad matchup for A&M. I think Lenoris Sellers is a guy who – I'm buying a lot of stock right now, Lenoris Sellers. The Dollar General Cam Newton talk has swayed me. I think he's I think he's better than Marcel Reed is, and I'm going to take an upset here. A&M always gives you one game they shouldn't. This is the one. They're going to lose at home to South Carolina.
My thing with South Carolina is, like, I feel like every big game they have is at home. Like, every big win, every big moment they have, like, I don't know.
They have not been a great road team.
I don't know if they can go on the road and win this kind of game. So that's I'm going to give A&M the edge just for playing at home.
Okay,
like just as simple as that.
We're both 7-3, 8-3 because they'll play Samford before they have the rivalry finale.
Discounting the Bulldogs,
I am going to discount them. I'm going to poo-poo them.
How dare you?
At Texas on Black Friday. I don't know if we didn't mention that yesterday. Last year, the other Friday game was Georgia Tech. This year, it is Texas A&M in Austin. I'm going to go with the Longhorns here, and guess where we ended up? Texas 8-4.
Oh, for both of us?
Yeah, are you taking Texas?
No. Yeah, because I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, because I picked South Carolina
to win.
So
you
lose.
Picked A&M to beat South Carolina. Yeah, yeah. So I picked A&M to beat Florida, and you didn't.
Okay.
You picked A&M to beat South Carolina, and I did.
We're both 8-4.
8-4. Texas 8-4.
Yikes.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. I will have to print off the helmet.
They should just kept Kevin Sumlin, if that's the case.
At this point. I could have just kept him.
That was my favorite stat to track. Kevin Sumlin and Jimbo Fisher in the same period.
About to start tracking it for Elko, I guess.
Yeah, he's popped in now too.
All right, 8-4. I will print off this helmet schedule and get and keep up with it. Who are we going to go with next week?
Let's go with Auburn.
Ooh, all right, that's going to be a fun one. We'll have some good times with that. All right, guys, you know what time it is. The rumblings are tomorrow. Get your questions in. Robbie and I will be happy to answer them. Plus, you know, as the week goes on, we'll have plenty to talk about here on Thunder and Lightning. Need to get another baseball guy on to get his thoughts. I haven't reached out to Aaron Fitt yet. Let me see if we can get him on.
Fitty.
Talk a little coaching search with us as well. Fitty. All right, guys, have a great Tuesday. Back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Adan. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk. You better read the signs, respect the law and order, you'll serve hard times. You'll be serving hard times. You know the big boss man will make you walk the line. You better watch out, boy, you'll be serving hard times.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.